If you are a member of God's church, you've been promised an awesome reward. Jesus Christ is going to return, as it mentions in the book of Revelation. He's going to return to the earth, and it says that he is bringing his reward with him to give every man according to his works. And yes, brethren, not now, but later, we are going to be rewarded. If you look at the book of Romans, it talks about the creation and the universe and how the creation is waiting for us. So that's not the purpose of my sermonette, but we are promised an awesome, awesome inheritance. Interestingly, in the book of Genesis is a story about a man who disqualified himself from being rewarded. He disdained his reward. He gave away a stupendous, awesome future for something unbelievable in comparison. Today in the sermonette, we're going to see why this happened. Let's go to the story in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 25 is a story you've probably read many times, but we need to be reminded every once in a while. Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to begin to read in verse 27. This is the story of Esau and of Jacob. So the boys grew. And if you remember the story, Esau and Jacob were twins. Esau grew, and so did Jacob. Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac, the father of both of them, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah, the wife of Esau and the mother of both of them, loved Jacob. So we have the story of Esau and Jacob growing up together. In verse 29, now Jacob cooked a stew. And when you look at the kind of stew it was actually bean soup. It was lentil soup. Now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was very, very weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. The word Edom means red. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright. Esau was the oldest. Esau was, at the death of Isaac, going to get a larger inheritance, quite a lot larger. Verse 31, but Jacob said, the younger said to the older, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what good is this birthright going to do to me if I'm dead? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau some bread and stew of lentils, bean soup. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Then Esau despised his birthright. Esau was not willing to wait. He wanted satisfaction now. That can be a problem to us sometimes, brethren. We're not willing to wait. Sometimes we meet a trial that's been going on for a long, long time. And sometimes as Christians, we can feel impatient. When is Christ going to return? I keep hearing about Christ returning. He hasn't done it yet. How much longer am I going to have to put up with this world? How much longer am I going to have to do this and do that? How long do I have to do this? And we can become very, very impatient. So the first thing that we notice here is that Esau lacked patience. Patience is a very, very important thing when you're Christian. And let me tell you something. Patience doesn't mean you're slow. Patience means you're willing to wait for a long, long time. Sometimes people put their own definitions on words. For example, you know, it talks in the Bible about Moses was a very humble man. And yet Moses led about 2.5 million people through the wilderness for 40 years. He was in charge. And the Bible says there was not a more humble man than Moses. Humble doesn't mean that, you know, you don't ever look up and you trip over your feet because you don't want to look up because you don't think too much of yourself. So patience here means patience. It means I'm willing to wait no matter how long it takes. And Esau lacked patience. He didn't have it. So if we're going to receive our reward, brethren, And obviously this has analogies for us today. That's why I'm giving the sermonette. We must be able to wait. We must be patient. We've got to be patient. There's no substitute for patience. Second point that's really sorrowful in this story was Esau was unwilling to endure discomfort. He was unwilling to endure discomfort. Notice Genesis 25, verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. I'm so hungry." I mean, I'm unbelievably hungry. He may have been in the woods for 3 or 4 days, a week, maybe not eating anything. Lost 6 or 7, 8, 10 pounds. He was famished. He was starving. He'd been out in the woods hunting. And he said, "I'm weary." And notice verse 32. "Look, I'm about to die." Maybe he was not exaggerating. In a few days, if he didn't eat, he would be dead. But he was uncomfortable. His body ached for food. And consider some things. He had walked into where Jacob was, which meant that there was other people there besides Jacob. He could have simply said to Jacob, "No, I'll just wait a few minutes till I go to this other tent where my uncle or my friend or whoever lives, and they'll offer me food for free." He could have eaten later. He could have taken food from another person. He didn't have to, you know, take Jacob's deal. He was a son of Isaac, a very important, very wealthy person. He could have asked anyone for anything and they probably would have given it to him, including food. But Esau had so little respect for his birthright that he was not willing to endure discomfort to keep it. And the problem wasn't so much that he sold his birthright. The problem was that he didn't think anything of it. He didn't think anything. It's not worth waiting for, this birthright. Romans chapter 8. Keep your place in Genesis, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Some of us are going through trials right now, brethren. Some of us are going to go through trials later. And you know, brethren, I don't want to belittle your trials or your problems, but sometimes we can get the "woe is me." "Oh, things are just so bad with me. I have this problem," or "I have that problem." And they could be major problems. I'm not belittling that. But notice verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Spirit being, Son of God, inheritor of the universe, exceedingly rich, handsome or beautiful beyond all measure, famous. All those things are implied in our, you know, you're going to be a son or a child of God. You don't think you'll be noted and important? Of course you will be. But sometimes we want to compare the suffering of this present age to what we're going to get in the future. And that was one of Esau's problems. He wasn't willing to endure discomfort. Brethren, you are going to have problems. I'm going to have problems. I've had problems in the past. And I'm going to have some in the future. Because, like you, we're human. And we live in this world, and this world sometimes gives us problems. Sometimes we bring problems upon ourselves. And so we need to be willing, brethren, to endure discomfort. I mean, there's no other way to say it. We need to be willing to just endure. Just hold on. We're all going through trials, sicknesses, persecutions, various other things. Point number 3. And it's very important, especially for us. Esau did not have the big picture. He did not have the big picture. He only saw his growling stomach. He only saw his wobbly knees because he was not nourished. He was famished. He was starving. He did not have the big picture. He did not realize, maybe he did, but he did anyway, he did not realize or fully comprehend what he was giving up. You know, I've known people, brethren, that have been in the church. And, you know, they've been in the church for a long, long time. And then they leave. And when you find out what they left for, you go, what? They left being a potential son of God because they had a little bit of problems on the Sabbath. They left being a potential son of God because they were having problems with their family. And I'm not belittling those things. Those things can be big. But in comparison, brethren, to what we're going to receive, that's nothing. We need to have the big picture. We need to look beyond what we're going through now, what we're going to go through in the future, the things we've gone through in the past. We need to look beyond that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. What exactly did Esau give up? Genesis chapter 27. And notice verse 28. This is the blessing that Isaac gave Jacob. This is a blessing that some people say Jacob stole. I don't think he stole it so much as Esau just gave it away. Esau didn't value it. So it was easy for Jacob to take it. If Esau would have valued it, we'd be reading about Esau getting this, not Jacob. But notice what Jacob received in verse 28. Excuse me. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples, nations, ethnics, serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. These were promises, national promises. Actually, these promises have been inherited by you and me, part of them. They're the national promises to the house of Israel. Read about the things that Israel has received as a nation. All of those things Esau would have been the inheritor of, and he gave those up because he did not fully comprehend the promises. These were blessings of greatness and prosperity. There were direct and indirect blessings he was going to have. Go back to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read in Romans chapter 8, continuing with verse 19, where we left off. For the earnest expectation of the creation. Creation is translated in other versions as the universe, the cosmos, the stars, the galaxies. They have space probes now. One of them is coming out of service, but they're going to launch another one. The Kuiper satellite, it finds exoplanets. It finds planets around other suns. Almost all of the other suns, majority of them, have other planets on them. Most of them are big because they're so far away you can only see the big ones. But you can imagine there's big ones like Saturn and Jupiter. There's probably little ones like Earth and Mars and Venus. That's a lot of real estate, brethren. That's a lot of real estate. For I consider that the suffering, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the universe eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who's the sons of God? You and me. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the universe, or the creation itself, will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There's coming a time, brethren, when the children of God, you and me, are going to inherit the universe. And then that bunion on your left foot is not going to be anything. Or the problems you're having at work, not going to be anything. Or the trial, which could be a major trial you're going through now, is not going to be anything. Consider the big picture, brethren. Keep the big picture in mind. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation, the whole universe, groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You and I should be with fervor waiting to be adopted as the Son of God. There's an adoption coming, brethren, and you and I are going to be part of it. And we are literally going to inherit the universe. And brother, the universe is physical. It is a physical entity. We're not even talking about the spiritual realm, which we're going to probably have the ability to go in and out of. All of that is waiting for us. Let's go to Revelation 22. I want you to keep, brethren, some of you are going through trials. Some of you are going to go through trials later. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his works. Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to give us a reward, brethren. You know, Esau sold national blessings and national promises for a bowl of soup. For a bowl of bean soup. Didn't even have any meat in it. Bean soup. He sold it for a bowl of beans. And you have to be careful, brethren, because your inheritance can be removed from you. You know how that can happen? When you give it away. No one can take your salvation from you except for the person looking in the mirror back at you. There are people that have gone through all kinds of problems, brethren. And unfortunately, there are other people that hit a little bump in the road. Oh, that's it for me. I'm finished. And they give up all the things that we're talking about. Brethren, don't let anyone or anything or any trial or any problem or any wrong attitude come between you and the reward God has reserved for you. Some people have given away their future reward for money. Oh, I had a job on the Sabbath. It paid me an extra $10,000 a year. So I took it, but when I took it, I had to quit the church. He sold everything for $10,000. A little bit more than a bowl of soup, but yes, the reward is going to be that much greater. Some people have given away their reward for sex. Some people have given it away for social position or political power. And some, we just want to have a good time now. You are the only one that can give up your birthright, brother. Nobody took away Esau's birthright. He disdained it. He gave it away. No one can take your birthright away from you without your permission. You have to be a participant. No one can take salvation from you. But you can give it away. Don't sell your birthright, brethren, for a bowl of soup.